Artist Song, the podcast that asks artists to talk about songs that changed them, the songs that won't let them go, because songs can change you, for sure. And let's be honest, sometimes it's not just a song, it's a record or an artist or a band, but music. Music can change you and show you something different and transform you. And the music that changes you, I'm always up for talking about that. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and in this episode, we hear from Tom Green, the drummer from Alt-J, as well as from members of the Austin band Ume. And I'm not going to lie, we cover a lot of ground today. Lots of music that showed people lots of different things, so let's get started. First of all, Tom Green. He plays drums for Alt-J and is also a producer in his own right. And, you know, Alt-J has a new record out called This Is All Yours. And they were at Austin City Limits Music Festival. And backstage at Austin City Limits Music Festival, well, they were busy. They were trying to fit in all these interviews. And I was told that I had 5 minutes with Tom, which is not a ton of time, but which I was happy to have. And I didn't really know what to expect. But I did not expect him to do what he did, which was really take me through his influences from teenagehood until now, which was actually really cool, all the way from Nirvana to music inspired by video games. So here he is, Tom Green.
Okay, well, growing up, I was a huge metal fan, and I played in, I was in bands at school, and we would play heavy music, like a lot of grunge and things, and I would say the first band that had the biggest impact would be Nirvana. I mean, I started playing the drums when I was a kid.
Okay.
Just messing around and
like a kid, like five or like a
yeah,
kid?
Like, oh, five, really? Or six. Yeah, my dad bought me like a mini drum kit when I was three.
Oh my gosh!
So I've always been obsessed with rhythm, mostly.
Yeah.
And so Nirvana, like being the age I was like 12, I think. I really liked the kind of the aggression behind it and the rhythm as well. Like the drums in Nirvana, everyone knows they're good, but like, I don't think people really appreciate how good they are.
I don't think I've ever listened to Nirvana for the drums.
Yeah.
Which, like,
well, that's a good.
Yeah.
That's a good sign because it works. You know, you don't wanna listen to an album and the drums are just like,
they're so present that you're
unless
like,
it's an intentional thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, Dave Grohl's drumming is very subtle, but it's very complex as well. And then I listened to the Deftones a lot growing up. So Abe Cunningham, the drummer from the Deftones, is probably my biggest influence as a drummer. I taught myself, so a lot of the stuff I was learning came from him. So a lot of my style, like playing even now, is similar to his, I would say, anyway.
I mean, what is it about his drumming as opposed to like other people's drumming? And I'd be interested to know what Dave Grohl's drumming is. Like, what is it in there as opposed, like, do you hear or that kind of strikes you, you know?
Well, a lot of it is the production, like the production, like the quality of this, the sound of the drums.
Oh, okay.
So I like a good solid sounding drum kit. So I use a 10-inch snare drum, which is tiny.
Yeah.
But it has a real crack to it.
Uh-huh.
And it pierces through everything. And I really like, so, and Deftones drums are similar to that. He doesn't use that small of a drum, snare drum, but, and so like White Pony, for example, the production on that is very, it's very electronic sounding, but it still has that acoustic side to it as well. And he's known for his kind of ghost notes,
mm-hmm.
and his polyrhythms and things. And so whilst it's subtle, it's again very complex. purely listen to electronic stuff, so the Deftones, their grooves are similar to a lot of like dubstep, for example.
Okay.
Similar tempos.
Yeah.
And then I started listening to really, really, really heavy metal, like Cannibal Corpse and like a band called Extreme Noise Terror, stuff that was like as noisy as possible.
Is there an ability to be subtle in drumming like that? Like, I mean, or is it more about like aggression and drive?
There's definitely, I mean, it depends. There's definitely, I think extreme metal bands, it is more about the force and the loudness and the aggression. Yeah, I think it'd be hard to find a band like that had subtle anything. I think the majority of metal is pretty, but when I say subtle, maybe subtle's not the one. Like Lamb of God, for example, their drums, they're like so on point. Like, he's not just going for it. Like, it's very, very technical, but it works.
Like, it's precise yet like heavy hitting and driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It still has that real force and aggression, but it syncs with the guitars and the bass really like perfectly. And there's a metal band called Meshuggah, who are like a Swedish metal band, and they defined like their own genre. Like, there's nothing else like them. They use it's all like polyrhythms, so everything, like, it's very hard to follow. But it's all kind of like downstroke guitar, and then the drums follow it, and you can't predict what the kind of tempo the beat is, which is really, really interesting. It's very challenging.
But does it take multiple listens before your brain will actually like process what's
going
exactly.
on? Yeah, exactly. I mean, some tracks I still can't figure it out. So metal's had a huge influence on me in terms of my drumming. And then I went to university and I started listening to Radiohead. And Radiohead like opened up like a whole different world of listening and making music for me. Like, I consider them to be the best band in the world. I don't understand it, like the sounds they make, like the emotion that they create out of thin air is incredible. And
it sounds like they took you to a place where it wasn't about like it was like rhythm, figuring out how like this is happening in the rhythm side, and then you hear Radiohead and it's like melody, emotion, all the other things
melody,
that
yeah,
are like
exactly.
the
exactly
yeah
exactly yeah I never thought about that before, and so that really influenced. I make a lot of electronic stuff, and so that influenced me in terms of my production and just thinking about emotion in music and how you can evoke things with melody. And then now I'm listening to like Aphex Twin and a lot of kind of minimal kind of techno and things. Like there's an artist called Yamaneko, who's a London-based producer. He has an album called Pixel Wave Embrace. I started listening to that recently, and he's influenced by computer game soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like the old Sonic the Hedgehog and things like that.
Yeah.
But his production is very contemporary, so he has that kind of those simple melodies, but with a contemporary production style, which is it's really, really interesting. It's extremely relaxing.
Now, do you think you're entering into a phase where you're trying to figure out how to get to those same places as simply as possible? Like, is that, it sounds like it's maybe that minimalism? is interesting you?
I go from one extreme to the other. Like, part of me just wants to make the most aggressive sounding thing you've ever heard, just pure noise. And then when I'm actually producing, like I have a tendency to make melodies. So it is kind of confusing.
I don't know. It seems like it's a tension you've been dealing with ever since you started really liking things. Like the difference between like wanting to have something really precise and wanting to like have polyrhythms and emotion. Kind of, like how do you meld the two?
It's very complicated. But then if I figured it out, then that would be the end of all things. You're the first and last of your kind.
And below me is every other freckle from Alt-J, and once you listen, you can hear it all in there. And you see, that was a lot of ground covered and not a lot of time, but I dug it. I know the conceit of this podcast is to talk about one musical experience, but the truth is that most artists have a ton. Often the problem is narrowing it down to one song or one record. And Tom Green, he didn't narrow it down. He took us through the timeline that he'd created in his mind, the timeline of musical influence. And now, when I hear Alt-J, when I listen to the rhythms and the drumming, you know, I just like knowing where things are coming from. Next up is the band Ume from Austin. They're a trio and they play serious rock and roll, and they have a new EP out called Too Big World, where they cover Neil Young and Archers of Loaf, which is just cool. And they do my favorite Archers of Loaf song, Web in Front, which I got really excited about. And they sat down with me backstage at Austin City Limits Music Festival, and we did a group interview. We started with drummer Aaron Perez, then moved on to guitar player and singer Lauren Larson, and ended up with bassist Eric Larson. And each of them had an experience of music that showed them something new and something that they wanted to do. So here they are, Ume.
So the record that always comes to mind when somebody asks me a record that changed my life is Delisle's In the Comatorium by the Mars Volta. It was Mars Volta's first full-length record, which consists of Cedric Zavala on vocals, Omar Rodriguez, John Theodore, who plays with Queens of Stone Age now, drummer, and then Ike Owens on keys. I think when it came out in 03, I believe, so I was like 16, 17. Well, it was like a certain style of music that I'd never heard before. They kind of got me into Crimson and Yes and Floyd, and got me back into Zeppelin and all that stuff. It was an unknown feeling, an unknown sound that I had never heard before. So I think that's what was interesting about it.
Did you like sit down and then try to like, what are they doing? I have to figure out more about this music.
I try to learn all the drum parts. And
oh, so you sat down and actually
sat
like
down and learned, yeah, and try to figure it all out. Just an amazing band.
Cool. Do you think that you bring that, some of what you learned from that into Ume? Would you call it more mathematical?
No, it's like pretty bombastic, a little mathematical, definitely a little proggy, just creative, interesting drum parts.
Yeah, kind of opened you up to like, just what more you could do with drums, as opposed to just like keep the groove and keep the beat.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I've talked a lot before about kind of what influenced me as a guitar player, but one thing I really haven't ever opened up about is what's influenced me as a vocalist, because I was the person that always played guitar for years before I ever thought I could even talk into a microphone. I was always terrified of it. And so I'd already played in punk rock bands and grindcore bands as a guitarist, and I remember hearing Sonic Youth's song Ineffable Me off of A Thousand Leaves, and you know, I'd seen Sonic Youth play a bunch of four, but then there was a scream that Kim Gordon does at the end of that. And I remember telling my mom at the kitchen table, I go, I wish I could do that. And I was maybe about, I don't know, 14 years old, 15
And you were already playing guitar.
I was already playing guitar. I started playing my first band at age 14, but that was with my head down, you know, back to the crowd. But I was still playing kind of some fast, fast rock and roll. And when we kind of started the band that eventually became Ume, I went back to that song, Ineffable Me. And there's a, you know, scream just lets out the end. And that was the first thing I did into the microphone.
Oh, really?
Was just like, I just got to let this go. And, you know, that's kind of...
And how old were you when you first did that scream? Like, how long did it take from the time you're 14 to the time where you, like...
7 years. 21.
7 years?
Yeah. But so I'd done music a long time before I ever, yeah.
And how... I mean, what did you... When you're 14 and you heard that scream, like, what was it that made you think, like, that, that's what I want? Like, did it make
freedom
you...
Freedom and female empowerment. It was never about sounding perfect. I'm never going to be the perfect singer. You're never going to catch me on American Idol, you know? I feel embarrassed singing Happy Birthday to people, but there's something about when you can just let go and let your voice be what it is.
Yeah.
With all the grabbiness and now I've learned as I've gotten more, you know, older, and, you know, a little more confident as a vocalist, though. People like the imperfections. They like the character of the voice.
Well, I think that's because, I mean, it's almost like what people look for in music is kind of like that pre-verbal, like, feeling thing. They're not, they're looking for something that makes them feel, and like a scream.
Visceral, yeah.
Will make you feel, you know, free. Did it feel free to scream into that microphone? Like, how did it?
Yeah, I haven't stopped since, so.
Did you pretty quickly get over that fear of being in front of the band?
Like, it's always, I'm still there to an extent, but now I just let go. I think it encouraged me a lot to just kind of take on this more, like, you know, persona of I'm gonna be doing, you know, a performance and being wild and free and screaming, kind of making yourself, it's a vulnerable experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And when else can you just sit there and scream? Yeah, I think people should do it more often. You
know? I actually kind of want to scream into this microphone right now. I mean, it's a very free experience. And if that's the first thing you ever do into a microphone, like, that's a good way to start. Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
A friend of mine, when I was skateboarding, gave me a tape of 13 songs, and I remember putting it on, and when it first started, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And the thing about it that sort of stuck with me was that it always felt about energy. So pumped up, I went and played that tape probably 12 hours a day and skated in my garage. Constantly to this record, over and over and over and over again. And I always thought, man, if only it was a little bit faster. And then I finally heard Minor Threat. I heard Ian McKay's voice and I was like, oh my gosh, this is phenomenal. I love this so much. There's so much power to it and energy and kind of frustration and anger, but like excitement to it. And then when I finally heard Minor Threat, I was like, whoa.
This is it.
I'm done. I don't have to do anything else now. This is the world. So it really introduced me to punk rock, and it introduced me to that mindset of, you know, doing things yourself and being a part of community and kind of lifting each other up and being positive with your friends, and that being like your core of who you are. And from then on, that was just who I was and what I wanted to do. And
Were you playing music at the time, or were you mostly skateboarding?
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I was just skating. And I just was like, this is the greatest thing ever. These guys were just a punk band, and I felt like I got into something that no one had known of. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was like, oh, I like this band Fugazi, and nobody, you know, other people, they were talking about AC/DC or something.
And was this around, like, 13, 14?
Yeah, I was young. Yeah. I just remember, I was like in elementary school.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, because it was before I ever moved down to Texas. And
wait,
so,
you tapped into Minor Threat and Fugazi before you moved, when you were in elementary school?
I got lucky because my friend that was skated, his dad was, he drove a tour bus. Uh-huh. And so they introduced me to things like The Cure and a bunch of things like that. And so for whatever reason, this kid, I think his dad was gone a lot, so he got to do whatever he wanted. And one of those things he got out of that was listening to more experimental music like Fugazi. And he got me into Ministry, like, Butthole Surfers and things like that. And so, yeah, so he got me into Fugazi. And I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Anytime but now, anywhere but here, anyone but me.
I wish we were actually videoing this because, like, you, when you talk about, like, feeling that energy, like, you actually look like about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that from then on, that was one of the things I think with Ume that I feel I always wanted to do for other people was play music that somebody else can get really amped up about. And that's always been what music has been for me as far as, like, I still like quiet bands. Like, I'm only listening to things that light your hair on fire. But just the process of watching a band getting amped up and getting excited about it and just having a good time is just, that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I think that's what people go to see music for a lot of reasons, but, like, to see a band and to have them put that energy out and have that freedom, like, the freedom of the scream, the freedom of that energy, then makes people feel like they can be open and free and energetic, too. And it's like a real, it's like a gift you get to give to audiences and stuff. And that's cool. I mean, to have, like, a formative experience, like, that young, because I know in elementary school I was pretty much just listening to, like, Madonna, which is great. I mean, you know, on my pink boombox, but it would have been cool to be
able to... I only had that record. That was pretty much... It's like this opened up this world. It was like, oh, man, I got two records now, and I listen to them all the time.
Yeah, well, back in the day when you only had, like, a couple records, and you would just wear them out. There's a certain beauty to the limitations that we used to have with music. Yeah. Well, you guys, thanks so much for sitting down with me. I really appreciate it. Right on. And below me, you're hearing Too Big World from the Too Big World EP from Ume. And, you know, I love the full band interview. I love hearing where people are coming from. And I love hearing about experiences where people hear something and they say, like, that's what I want to do. I want to play drums like John Theodore. I want to scream like Kim Gordon. I want to make people feel the way I feel when I hear Minor Threat. Just yes to all of that. Yes to that feeling. And that's it. We've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9. It was produced and edited by myself, Elizabeth McQueen, and David Sanger with help from Art Levy. The interviews were recorded by Jake Perlman out at the Austin City Limits Music Festival. Thanks to Peter Babb for everything he does, like booking over 300 acts in Studio 1A a year, plus organizing everything out at the festivals and generally being rad. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's very own Hard Proof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@KUTX or tweet us at thissongKUTX. You can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, liner notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes, or follow us on Stitcher. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I know you're busy, but if you have a moment, we'd love a rating or a review for any of the podcasts, really. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you later.